This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's March 10th, episode 866. It's about midnight. what time I feel like it is. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning this Monday morning. You know, everybody in the country is happy when spring comes and we change the clocks and it stays light later, except for one person, and regular listeners to the show will know who that person is.
Any guesses? That would be me. That would be me. Because this godforsaken state doesn't do a freaking time change. So what was for a sweet, I don't know, 3 months. It's, you people suck it up because it's only like 3 months. Where this show starts at 9 Eastern, it started at 7. Now it starts at 6. And that means I have
Jamie
to get up
to
at
get
about
up
4:45.
Well, look at it this way, though. The baby's still sleeping, right?
Well, everybody's still sleeping in this state, Glenn. It doesn't make it any better.
The owls are still sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, when the first number on the clock is a 4, when you get up, you hate your life. So there you go. I'm on a cup of coffee number 3. I'm going to try to make it through the show. I've got a new baby. You guys are mean. Can we please change it till noon? Would anybody hate it if we did this show at noon live? Noon Eastern?
I would.
I'd be fine with that.
I
suck
it
up, Glenn. How about we do it 3 months a year at noon and then 3 months a year at normal time?
You'd have to talk to all my other co-hosts about all the other shows. You'd have to find somebody willing to do
it
at 9 in the morning.
Don't challenge me. All right. I'm going to not complain. What's up? How
Jennifer,
you doing?
What's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, with the first day of spring just 10 days away and one more nor'easter, Diane Little from Piece by Piece Farm stops by for some advice on getting your hunters and jumpers back into shape after spending the past 3 months in a deep freeze. And then rounding out this week's opener, Horse Nation's Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility Sportswear North America, stops by for a chuckle. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Boyd and Silva Martin. It goes out to Boyd Martin because despite his wife being in a hospital, as we talked about on Friday, from an accident she had, a bizarre riding accident on Thursday, I believe, he headed off to Red Hills, 3-star event here in Florida, and ended up winning the thing despite all of that. And you got to give a guy kudos who can go out and still concentrate and still ride and still win after his wife's in the hospital from a pretty severe head injury. So good job, Boyd. And we have an update. You have a more recent update than I even had on Silva, right?
Yeah, I guess what I saw in Horse Talk is that she has actually improved a little bit. She still has bleeding on the brain. It's affecting her eyesight and her speech, but apparently today she is much more responsive, according to Boyd. And again, like you said, he elected not to scratch from Red Hills. That's a 3-star. He goes out, and I was reading, like, the play-by-play. Names that did not make it around are very familiar, including one, Philip Dutton. Like, so many people had problems on the 3-star course, and Boyd went in. I think he had a little bit of time, but other than that, I mean, he put in one of the only clear rounds, won the whole dang thing. And what was really cool was this article that I was reading talked about he went to ride, and he said sometimes you have to separate your job from your life. But the winner of Red Hills got a lease on a Mercedes-Benz for an entire year. And he said, when I talked to her after the class, it was wonderful hearing how excited she was. She really wanted that Mercedes-Benz. Personally, because personally, I couldn't care what I drive. But to a classy German dressage rider, a Mercedes-Benz is really something to look forward to. So I could see her, you know, just cruising around in that Mercedes. And, of course, as a husband that wins one, you give the keys to your wife. That's just what you do. So I guess she's really excited about it. Yeah.
She must be coherent enough, you know, to make that comment. So good for her. And, you know, she's still going to have a long road to recovery like any head injury does. But that is a positive sign. What happened there? There was a bit of controversy over the cross-country course at Red Hills. Do you know exactly what happened?
Well, I guess when I was reading it, there were some corners, and the arena complex area was really heavily shaded at that time of day, and it made it really spooky, and a lot of horses had a hard time reading the question that they were being asked. So they were causing visibility issues, and I don't know if anybody lodged a formal complaint, but only 16 horses jumped clear around the course, and that's only 39%. So 14 people had to stop at that course at 5A or 5B. 14 people to have a stop at one area is pretty telling. However, when 16 pairs do get through it, you know, what are you going to do? So at least over half made it around. But that's something that just doesn't happen. Like Peter Adkins had to stop on Henny.
Run, Henny, run.
Sylvester, Henny, run. Did not make it through that area. There was a ton of people who didn't make it through. But apparently Philip Dutton and Atlas went off course early, and they retired. Jan Benny, Caitlin Silliman with Remington, Hannah Sue Burnett, they all had technical eliminations in the arena complex when they went on to jump 5B after there was apparently a stop at 5A. I mean, it was just let me just put it this way. The jump judge at 5 was very, very busy.
You never want to be the volunteer that ends up with that jump because, and these are volunteers.
I volunteered at the AECs several years ago, and they gave me the double corners. And it was awful. I felt so bad. Like, I just wanted to be like, oh, clear. I mean, it was such a hard jump. And I ended up, when you don't know what to do, you have to actually take a piece of paper and you have to draw the track that rider took. And I had like 8 pieces of paper that I had drawings, and it turned out like I ended up having to eliminate my former coach. Like, that's terrible. Mike Winter, I used to take riding lessons with, and Mike Winter came by, and the poor guy, his stirrup broke at fence 2, and he galloped around, and he kicked the other stirrup off, and he rode the whole advanced course with no stirrups, except for he made a circle in between fence A and B in the double corners, and that apparently provided his last refusal, so I had to eliminate him. I mean, awful. You don't want to be that guy.
Well, and the other thing that happens, we've done it for carriage competitions in the marathon phase, and they have all of those gates they have to do in each one. So each one that goes through, you have to draw. They have a little page for each one, and you actually draw a drawing on the gates of which what order they went. And then if there's a problem, you have to call the TD, and the TD comes over right away, and then you get sometimes, this happened on Saturday, we were out watching one here in Black Prong where Wendy was competing. The one competitor was convinced she did it right, so she's over there in the middle of the obstacle walking it and yelling at the TD and just all upset, and it was like, oh, geez, he's a volunteer to get back.
Drama. Oh, drama.
Fun. Hey, you haven't even done your daily winning yet. Let's do that.
I am. I know you teased it on Friday, but something really cool happened when I was up in Northern California this past weekend, and it was not the only that I found a winery. Now, this is really cool. I went to a winery called Alpha Omega.
I saw the sign. That was funny.
So I had to stop and take a picture, but it was not the people from Omega Alpha. But I did find a winery. That was not the coolest thing that happened. I did wine tour a little bit on Friday, but on Saturday, my husband got promoted to Lieutenant Colonel, officially.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
I couldn't be prouder. And what was really cool is that, you know, Chad's dad retired as a lieutenant colonel. And so we were up there visiting Chad's grandparents as well. Yeah, he's 40 years old and he still has three of his grandparents. It's amazing. So Chad's dad, being that he was a lieutenant colonel, got to perform the ceremony. So it was really neat to see them both all dressed up. And I'll post some pictures when I get it. I was kind of involved in this thing, so I couldn't take pictures, but my sister-in-law did. And so he swore in Chad in front of his grandparents, and his grandfather was also a lieutenant colonel. So to see, and his grandfather on the other side was also in the military. I believe he was in the Marines. So it was really, really neat to see these older gentlemen, you know, stand at attention as well as they could in their mid-90s and to salute each other and, you know, to have Chad's dad stand there and read him to swear him in. And then I got to go up and I got to take the rank off and change rank. It was really, really neat. And it's the first time I've obviously seen anything like that as I married a major. The first time I got to be a part of it. So it was really cool and really touching. And, of course, Chad's mom was like, you know, a puddle of tears on the floor. I might have cried a little bit. It was very moving and very emotional. I just couldn't be prouder of my husband.
So three generations of lieutenant colonels?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I mean, it's hard to get to that level. Not many people do. And to have three generations of them, that is really cool.
And Chad's grandfather, who was the lieutenant colonel, was one of the first fighter pilots in the U.S. He was, and now Chad's dad ended up.
Well, he would have been World War II, his grandfather, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was World War II era. And then he's the one that passed away, but up until the day he died, everybody called him the colonel. Like, you called him the colonel. Like, that was what his grandkids called him. He was very military, very hard charger. And then his son-in-law ends up his daughter ends up marrying an officer for the United States Air Force as well, and that's Chad's dad. Well, Chad's dad has severe motion sickness, so he couldn't be a fighter pilot, so he ended up flying in the heavies and being one of the navigators. And that was back when they didn't have GPS, and so Chad's dad is really smart and like would navigate these planes via the stars. Big brains on these people, and now technology obviously takes over these days, but a really, really impressive family. And again, I have nothing to do with it, and you know, I just got to marry into it, and it's really, really a cool thing.
Well, that's really neat. Congratulations to Chad.
No, how cool is, so
and now you're a colonel's wife.
I am. I'm a colonel's wife. And you know what? Colonels make a little more money, so we got to get a new horse.
And a bigger farm.
All about me. Yeah, they don't make that much more money.
Do they get to move out of Arizona, or do they stay in Arizona?
We still have to stay here, but what I'm thinking is Chaz is like, oh, it's, you know, I was like, what is this pay raise? And he's like, it's like having a little extra for a car payment. I was like, sweet, we need a dually. Can we up the truck a little bit? I'm like, that money can just go right into getting a truck payment, like you said, you know. I paid for my truck. It's paid for. We could just trade that puppy in.
Well, that's great. I'm very excited. I think that's just really, really cool. That's really cool.
Thank you very much. I know you've been very, very sweet and very supportive. And
well, you know,
I'm
partial to the military. So I have a lot of family members in the military, so I'm kind of partial to the military. And one of them just got promoted, too. So it was kind of neat. I got to see the pictures from his wife putting the bars on him. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. That was what I got
Isn't
to
that
do.
Is that neat?
So
How
yes,
special
that
the wife
really
gets
cool.
to do that.
I know. It's really, really cool. Now, moving on a little bit,
something not so cool
happened.
Yes, you and I are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, something not so cool happened. And I think on Friday I told you guys there's the big race. The Santa Anita Handicap was this weekend. And I told you that when I was at Santa Anita in February – I watched a race, and I told Chad I had already won a trifecta and an exacta. And I'm like, this is the lock of the day, Chad, the lock of the day. Game on, dude, blue skies and rainbows, going to come in first and second, the lock of the day. Of course, I only bet $2. He went to make the bet. He put a whole lot of money, like way more than I would have put on it. And game on, dude. Finishes fifth. I mean, it was embarrassing how bad the race was. Game on, dude, disappointed. He was the favorite. I said, this is a lock. I was embarrassed. And this weekend, Game on, dude, was running against Mucho Macho Man in the big cap. Of course, we're pulling for Mucho Macho Man, knowing that Game on, dude, is not going to win any more races because he was my lock, and it was embarrassing. So, should we play the race and find out what happened?
We have to.
Steel for the Santa Anita Handicap sent on their way to a good beginning. On the inside, Mucho Macho Man broke beautifully, but so did Game On Dude. So Game On Dude will go on to lead them early. Mucho Macho Man taken back into second. Here the Ghost on the outside will take charge as settled into the four spot, four lengths off the leaders. Then there's another gap of four back to Imperative, American Blend, Blingo's inside of that, and Rousing Sermon, the early trailer, gives them 10 length start. Into the turn they go, and Game on, dude, out where he likes to be, showing the way. Game on, dude, by a length now. Here the Ghost went a little wide into the turn, but is right there in second. 2 lengths back to Mucho Macho Man, a very comfortable third. He's 4 lengths off the leader. Just in behind that comes Will Take Charge, who's now getting a little closer to Mucho Macho Man as they move on to the backstretch. A gap of four back to Imperative, then American Blend. Blingo's still a good 8 lengths off the leaders, and 2 more to Rousing Sermon. They head to the half mile in the big cap, and it is Mike Smith and Game On Dude, a length and a half, but Mucho Macho Man moving in early today. Mucho Macho Man goes to take on Game On Dude, and Will Take Charge on the far side. This is the race we've been waiting for. The three stars line up as they pass at 3-8. Game on, dude, goes on with it. Game on, dude's finding more. Mucho Macho Man will take charge on the far side. Imperative running on fourth. Heads a turn for home in the big one. Game on, dude, goes on for home. Game on, dude, the leader, will take charge. Mucho Macho Man's done. He can find no more. Game on, dude, the leader, will take charge chasing. Game on, dude, leads them. Game on, dude, going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude, and Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap. Will Take Charge was second. Blingo was third. Then Mucho Macho Man. Here the go.
son of a bitch. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, not good. Not good. He came in fourth. He didn't. You know, you thought he broke a little early, and I kind of agree, but I think it was more than that. I just don't think it was his day. He just didn't have it. There was just not anything left in the coffers.
I'm sorry. Do you know that Game On Dude set the track record for the Santa Anita Handicap? Not just win it. He broke the stakes record. Do you know who set the stakes record? Affirmed. Triple Crown winner in 1978, but he set the track record in 1979. Affirmed. And Game On Dude goes and beats that record. That's insanity. Insanity. And then back to Mucho Macho Man. He was in the backside when he started moving up. And I don't know if Gary Stevens did that or if Mucho Macho Man did that, but he blew it, like, too early. It was a stretch run on the back of the track.
And this is what Stevens had to say. I actually looked around for a quote today because I hadn't seen one, because obviously all the talk was on Game On Dude winning for the third time. What he said is, the race really started at the half-mile pole when Lewis engaged me and I couldn't go with him. I was basically empty at the 3/8 pole. That's a bad feeling in a race like this. And you could tell he just had nothing. I mean, he just had nothing coming down the backstretch. And it's not often that you see that with Mucho Macho Man.
It's just awful. I did see on Mucho's page, it says, what a race. Congratulations to Game On Dude, who broke a record in this race, blah, blah, blah. Look forward to seeing you all again real soon. So that, to me, says that he's going to keep on going. Devastating to have Mucho Macho Man lose. And then the fact that I actually think I told everybody on Friday to bet Game On Dude because I wasn't going to be betting Game On Dude. So I might have given you guys a heads up. I mean, hopefully you took that.
Everybody knows to follow Jamie's betting advice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when I say don't bet that one because I'm, that means bet.
And he did, his earnings are up to now, Game On Dude's earnings are up to over $6 million. So it's not like Game On Dude has done poorly. He did poorly in his, last outing, but otherwise he's been pretty consistent. And
oh,
then
I know. He's won, 16 out of 30. So it's not like he's, that's why he was my luck.
He had one bad day. And now can we mention why else Jamie doesn't like Game On Dude? Who was riding Game On Dude?
I don't want to talk about it.
Mike,
I don't want to talk about it.
See, Zenyatta lost one race in Zenyatta's career history. And, of course, Jamie and all of us were in love with Zenyatta. And who was riding Zenyatta when she lost that one race in her career history? Mike
Smith. Well, he did great on Zenyatta up until the last race when, again, he pushed her or didn't push her early enough, and it was too little too late, and he actually took pretty much full – she was 19 for 19, okay? And then he just, flops the reins to her on the backside, just canters around and never asked her, never pushed her to get going. I mean, granted, she was a back of the pack kind of runner, but it was just too little too late. She was up against the boys, and I've been mad at Mike Smith ever since.
I was going to say, this was 2 years ago. Jamie doesn't hold a grudge at all.
No.
Not at all.
I guess.
And then Mike ended up, you lost more money because Mike screwed up something. So then if Mike comes in and actually wins this one, I knew it was going to just upset you.
it didn't
matter it was Game On Dude. It mattered that Mike Smith was riding the horse.
And every time I bet on him, just bet him because he always comes in second place. He's just always in second. And so I've actually made money betting Mike Smith to come in second. But he won this one.
I knew you'd love that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Mucho Macho Man. He had a bad day. He'll be back. He'll be back. They all come back. And I'm sure he'll be back. I have confidence.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm glad. Hey, just also to let everybody know, I couldn't be prouder of Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson has been on all the talk shows because he's promoting movies, and I know you've talked about it on the Driving Radio show. He was on Jimmy Fallon talking about the mayor and how ridiculous it is, but he actually toured the stables in New York, and he's been obviously rallying to keep the horses in Central Park.
Yeah, Liam, he's Irish, and most of the guys that drive down there are Irish. And he actually knows a lot of them personally. So when he actually stood up and started letting it be known that he was against the mayor and in favor of keeping the carriages in Central Park and in New York City, that caused more headlines than anything else they could have done. And, you know, we know the people pretty well that run the carriage operation there. We've had them on our shows 100 times. I think it's no surprise that Wendy and I are highly in favor of keeping the carriages there. We're highly in favor of keeping carriages everywhere we can keep them. And Liam just came out and has been the voice that the press want to cover. Let's put it that way. So
yeah.
They needed that. The poor carriage drivers, we're all there out there by themselves. Nobody knows them. You know, they're not named. They're just 200 carriage drivers who do this for a living, probably don't make a ton of money.
And have been doing it forever and that's like their life job.
Well, and their parents and families have been doing it forever. What a lot of people don't know is they have to buy the license, the taxi license tags to do this job. It's $150,000 to get a tag. You have to pay for your space in the stables. You have to take good care of your horses because there's like four different agencies that check on these horses. They are the most looked after horses in the world because there's like four different government agencies that come in and do inspections all the time. You know, we should have that for everybody out there that has horses with as many articles as we see, right, about neglected horses.
Right.
You know, so it's just I'm glad to see Liam out there doing it. It's finally getting it some attention. He has challenged this new mayor, who's a complete jerk from what I can see. He has challenged this new mayor to come down to the stables. He's never been there. He's never seen the horses. And it's always what I say, and that's what's coming out in the papers now in New York. This isn't about the horses. This isn't about the care of the horses. They could care less about the horses. It's about where the stables are. There's four different stables that developers want to develop, and they're large pieces of property, and they want their hands on those stables, and that's what this all comes down to. It always comes down to money and politics.
Hardly ever does it come down
to the animal, unfortunately, but that's what happens. So, good going, Liam.
Much.
I want to go see his movie now just to support him. I just want to go see
You know, I think that financially he's going to be okay. You know, whether you get his better just to send him $10.
I'm glad you brought that up. Everybody knows I'm passionate about this topic, and I try not to bring it up all the time, but
we record Jimmy Fallon and watch it the next day. And since I was out of town, I only saw it last night. So it was really cool to see. That was almost the first thing they talked about. And it was almost like you could see that Liam Neeson had said, hey, talk to me about the new mayor. Like immediately they started talking about, oh, New York's got a new mayor. And wow, he's really started, ruffling some feathers. And they were talking about how ridiculous it was. Basically his first action as a mayor was to get rid of the horses. And Liam's like, you know, these people work hard. They take care of these horses. These animals are not abused. They are pampered And it's nice to, again, have a voice for those guys.
And now, there's always exceptions to the rule in every city every place that has horses, every discipline, we talk about them all the time. We see them in the news that we have to look at every day. There's very few exceptions in New York because of the regulations and how often they are checked on. I wish that I could afford the bedding they have. They have like 2 feet of straw in those stalls.
Wow.
I wish we could afford that. Anyway, I don't like cleaning straw bedding. No, let me clarify that. As a horse husband, we don't approve of straw bedding. Just saying. All right, let's talk about our sponsor for the day, and that's Omega Alpha Equine. Not the winery. This would be the company that makes all natural.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And you may not have seen Omega Alpha Equine at your store before, but we're seeing them more and more at all the stores we go to, all the feed stores and the tack shops. So look for them there. We'd like to think it's because of our influence that they're getting more popular, but it's probably because they have good salespeople. Next
probably
up,
because they
we
have good
yeah. yeah, good products and good salespeople. All right, coming up next, we have our regular guest on here. Her name is Diane Little. And she always is giving us helpful hints for hunters and jumpers. And she is from Piece by Piece Farm in Chester, Pennsylvania. And I think you were probably in Wellington, though. Are you back home yet?
I am back home. We came back home last week.
And don't you regret that move? Because winter ain't over yet, girl.
I have to say, the weather there compared to the weather here, I do miss the weather, but I was excited to come home. I really was. My horses were really, really good, and they were starting to get tired, so it was time to get them back home.
You know, it is grueling. You know, obviously the weather is beautiful, but you guys put in a hectic schedule when you're doing the shows down there. You're showing, like, 4 days a week or something. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, we show Wednesday through Sunday. I mean, obviously the horses don't do every day, but the professional classes go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and most of the junior amateurs are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you're busy showing all those days. Monday is, you know, kind of your day off, and then Tuesday you're starting up again. I love it. I would horse show every single week of my life. I absolutely love it. But, you know, I had people here, students here at home, so I was looking forward to coming home.
Now, Jennifer can help me out with this. What is the name of that place? We've been getting special reports from a girl named Emily who has been giving us Wellington updates. And mm-hmm. what she's mainly been giving us an update on is there's a place, I think it's called the Players Club, and what she does is drive by on Monday morning and tell us how many cars are still left there from the partying on Sunday night. Have you been to the Players Club every Sunday night there, Diane?
I actually have never been to the Players Club, but I know that it is the place to go. I am not exactly a late night kind of person with the many 5 a.m. wake up calls, but I know that a lot of like the you know college age kids. Really like having it, so it's a good time.
Yeah, we get the reports on it. It's been interesting to learn about the Players Club. And, yeah. and it just goes to show what happens at the Players Club doesn't always stay at the Players Club. So
no, definitely not.
That's not why you called, Diane. But now you are back in time for another Nor'easter coming up, and I bet you're just excited about that.
Very excited.
Yeah.
My poor clipped horses are less excited, but hopefully it's not too bad. I mean, the weather has been actually fairly good since I've been home, and I know there's supposed to be a dip down, but we're really hoping that we're out of it, that we're starting to break into spring.
Well good luck with
that's
that.
Gonna be, That's going to be good. Now, Glenn, because you want to talk about people leaving their cars, she actually called to talk to us about fitness, and I'm kind of excited because, you know, while we haven't had bad weather here in Phoenix, obviously it's about the most perfect place to be in the whole wide world, I have had a couple horses that have been laid up, so I'm excited to talk a little bit about getting your horses back out after this horrible weather, after the layup, and starting some fitness. So you have some tips for us, Diane.
Yeah, you know, it's a topic that is very much on my mind just because my whole barn didn't go to Florida. I had about half the barn went down south, and those horses obviously are coming back fit and ready to go. But a lot of, you know, the other half have been home and have been well taken care for and all are pleasantly chubby and they look great. But horse show season is kind of right around the corner for everybody and everybody's really excited about it. We are already looking at entry dates and things like that. And I think it's really important to make sure that you kind of approach this time smart. You know, you don't want to rush it. It is so easy to get so excited about horse showing that you forget that, you know, these horses just had a slow month. So the biggest thing is that, and I've said it before, is just making sure that you get back on your five-day schedule of coming out and riding them. That's not jumping them. That's not necessarily even intense work. It is just making sure that these guys are getting nice physical exercise on the flat for 5 days a week. Maybe one of those days will jump, and my program right now is focusing a lot on gymnastics and bounces and a lot on kind of putting the horses maybe into some, you know, one stride and then collecting them for a bounce and then back into a one stride, something like that. Things where they don't have to go for a really long period of time. They're not jumping around for 2 minutes, but they're getting really good fitness within these exercises.
Right, right. So bringing them kind of out of the barn after being kind of off a month, do you start them with just a walk-only program? What do you do? Do you time it? Is it just kind of each horse by feel?
I would say it is a little bit each horse, and I mean, I would say that differs between a layup and just something that had time off. If it was one that was coming off of an injury, then absolutely. Walking program first, trotting down the long sides, no turns, all that good stuff. First, for the ones that have just had, you know, this month off, I just do these hour lessons are, you know, 45 minutes of walk, trot, canter with lots of breaks, but the breaks aren't just float your reins and let them walk around. The breaks are working them at the walk, doing some leg yields, doing some turn on the haunches, keeping them energized without wearing them out.
Gotcha. Okay. So what are some things that you look for as your horse, like, telling you they're ready for more or we're pushing them a little too much?
Obviously, you look at their muscle structure and whatnot. That can be difficult, though, because some horses are just naturally buff and some horses are naturally just slender looking. So I guess the biggest thing is I just look for the ability for those hind legs to kind of track into those front tracks. I look for those horses kind of taking those hind legs and really stretching into the front track. You know, if they do that well, you know, for 15 minutes and then I'm starting to see that kind of dwindle, I'm seeing their hind end start to drag, that's when I think of taking a break. That's how I know if the horses are putting too much weight on their front end, and it does us no good if they're just working that front end. So if they are showing me physically they can't continue working through the hind leg, then it's time for a break.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good to watch out for. Well, let's see. Jennifer, do you have any questions for her about the fitness stuff? Because I know you are getting your horse out and getting fit. And I know it's hard for a horse like Jennifer's because he's a very special, short, kind of chunky quarter horse. Bless his little heart. For horses, their muscle structure, but their personality types, the horses that are prone to getting high versus the horses that are prone to being putt-putts, do the beginning stages of their fitness program vary a great deal depending upon type of horse they are as far as their natural energy level is concerned?
I think that it's all the same broad idea, but absolutely you have to approach it different. You know, some of my horses are coming out and they are just on the muscle, ready to go, you know, very excited to be working again. And other ones come out, and because of their break, they're actually a little bit lethargic and whatnot. I think, in general, the lethargic ones are kind of the easier ones to deal with at this point because you just focus on getting to them to step up and forward. The hot ones, you have to watch because they're going to want to overwork themselves. They have all this energy. They're very excited, and they're going to want to kind of get themselves kind of into a tizzy. So number one is if you can, turn out. We have a round pen here that is nice that we are able to kind of control a little bit more the footing and whatnot, keep it so that it's not too muddy and too deep. So I use that for the ones that are especially hot. Now that the weather is getting better, we're turning out, and that really, really makes a difference for a lot of the horses just to get some of that zip out. Lunging is always an option. It's an option, again, you have to be careful of because you don't want them to go crazy on the lunge line. If they're good, that's great. If you're worried about them being too wild, well, then you kind of have to take it as slow as you can with those ones, you know. If they'll let you walk, walk them, you know. And then what I do is I do lots of transitions with those guys. Try to do walk, trot, walk, trot, walk, trot, canter, walk. Things that, again, will kind of tire them out without getting them kind of really hot and sweaty and whatnot.
Wow. See, I'm listening to this and I'm realizing that, yes, the horse that I have that's been laid up, I wanted to start getting back to it. And containing him into walk-trot transitions is going to be exciting. It's like walk-gallop, walk-gallop, walk-gallop. But then you want to, like, you work them, but you can't. So that's what's incredibly frustrating about bringing these guys either out or back is you know what's better for them than they do, although they think they know what they need to be doing, and that's going very fast and being an idiot. So
yes.
Walk-trot transition, I guess that's what I'm going to try to do. I mean, because I want to keep that kind of horse. Like, go ahead.
You want to keep them entertained. That's what I always say. Try to put together some sort of pattern that's entertaining, that's not just down the long side. Now, granted, obviously you don't want to be tearing around. I 100% agree. But, you know, if you can, add lots of changes of direction, you know, add turn on the forehand and then right back into some sort of transition, anything to keep it so that they start to listen to you and respect you, anything to keep their focus on you. I always find that works the best.
Gotcha. Something that basically having cookies in my pocket might be a good idea. Hey, stand still. Here's a cookie. Here's a cookie.
Exactly.
We do what we have to do with that one. Well, cool, Diane. It was great having you on. And if anybody wants to get a hold of you, I did find you at dilittle.com. Also, you've got your website, Peace by Peace Farm. Now, if you do not put peace and peace in the right place, you'll go to an organic farmer's market website. So it is P-E-A-C-E by P-E-I-C, P-I-E-C-E, excuse me. I don't even know how to spell anymore. It is really early for me. So what else do you guys have planned? What do you have coming up?
Well, I mean, I just made the horse show schedule yesterday, actually. And starting end of this month, beginning of April, we start up again. And basically once we start, as long as the weather allows in April, we go from April to, you know, September, kind of just going, I do the Princeton shows out here, try to do some of the hits shows, and it's time to get busy. Devin is getting a little closer. That's a big one for us because we live 30 minutes away from Devin, so we're really excited. I'm excited. I love, again, the horse show, so we're ready to start competing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us for your helpful Hunter Jumper hint, and we will talk to you again coming up real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane.
Well, we're going to take a break for our song of the day. We have Leslie coming up with the Wacky World of Horses here in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I have to tell you about Cashel Company. They have been so kind as to sponsor our coverage this week, heading out on Wednesday and heading out Wednesday afternoon, right in time for the storm to hit Lexington, and hopefully coming to you live from the Road to the Horse on Friday morning. And it's partly due to the support of the Cashel Company. You know, every rider has their own road to travel, and there's no limit to where it might take you. Whether you're on the trail, you need tack and equipment that you can count on. The quality of your tack will help make sure every ride is the ride of a lifetime. That's where Cashel's commitment to designing the best gear available can bring you peace of mind. From saddlebags, saddles, and tush cushions to America's best-selling fly protection, plus everything in between, Cashel is dedicated to quality, so you can rest assured that you're getting a great value. Spend more time enjoying the outdoors, exploring new trails, and finding new roads. Cashel gives you the freedom to get out, enjoy the ride. Go to CashelCompany.com to explore everything Cashel has to offer. As you heard, Lisa Wysocki filled in for Jamie on Friday. She uses a bunch of Cashel products. Jennifer and I do. Jamie does. They are terrific products. They're made to last, and they're affordable. CashelCompany.com. Well, now I'm sure there's another guy out there that uses Cashel products, and that is Jared Rogerson, who spends his life on the trail. That he gets paid to do that, actually. And we're going to hear a song by him off of his latest CD called Dirt. We'll be right back after this.
This land's made of work is what this ranch is made of. No amount of money can buy. No amount of money can buy. Curse is what them colts put on me. Curse is my response immediately. And sometimes I don't know why. No amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for, and there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy this dirt. Flirt is what she does with me, and it works. She's got a good hold on me, and no amount of money can buy. No amount of money can buy. Shirt. Give them off our backs, I'm sure. Cause out here we do it like that. There's a feeling that you can't deny. It's something no amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy. The best roads lead. Dirt, it's how I know I'm really free. And I wouldn't trade this way of life for anything. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And every day is a miracle. Like the green, green grass that grows up out of. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for, and there is
yourself.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson and his song Dirt. That's the title off of his latest CD. You can find them all on iTunes or head over to jaredrogerson.com, where you can find all of his music. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. And we are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Find all of their all-natural products at omegaalphaequine.com. You know, Arizona is up to something. You know, we had a lot, by the way, of really bad ads out of Arizona last week when you were out, just saying. And
really?
Now they're up to something. Yeah, now they're up to something else. And that is Arizona has decided, let me see which department this was. I'm trying to find the news story here. We have so many today. The Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board last week started sending cease and desist letters to massage therapists, equine massage therapists, and canine massage therapists, starting to get cease and desist letters stating that they had to have a veterinary license to do massage. And since then, several of the massage therapists have sued the state, claiming that that's just a bunch of crap. And one of the things that they're saying is that you don't need a medical degree to do massage on humans, so why do we need a veterinary degree to do massage on animals? You know, that is a good point. Pretty much anybody can get a massage degree to do massage on humans, and, you know, you don't need that to be a massage therapist. So what they're afraid of, obviously, is that this would take off across the country. And then can you imagine how much it would cost you to get your massages done by your veterinarian?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Number one, what I found amazing about the first part of this is I did not know that there were canine massage therapists. I just pet my dog, you know. That was
apparently
the first thing
are.
I learned. Second thing I learned is people spend their money on anything. The next thing is, yes, I cannot believe that they're requiring massage equine massage people to be veterinarians. What veterinarian is going to take the time out of their day to be a massage therapist? You know, I do get frustrated with the people that go around that are completely untrained and completely unlicensed, and it happens a lot here in Arizona, the people that consider themselves chiropractors and like healers.
Which
there's a guy that goes around
for.
Here in Arizona that goes to all the horse shows and considers himself a chiropractor and adjusts horses and has zero training. It's just people call this guy.
That you should have a license. If you're going to call yourself a chiropractor, you should have a vet license for that, for sure. I agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or some
yeah.
sort of license. Like he considers himself a healer. And so he goes around and people pay him a lot of money to, you know, I'm putting my hands, fingers in the air, heal him, air quotes. But it's ridiculous. But this is crazy because a masseuse, you know, you still have to pay to be a licensed massage therapist. You still have to go to I think it's a couple-week training course to be a massage therapist. At least you have to do something.
Yeah, in most states you do. That's right. And, you know, what will happen is you just won't do it anymore. I mean, that's what will happen because people will just stop. It'll be too expensive. You'll have a couple of vets out there whose practices are flailing a little bit, take this as an opportunity to do this full time, but they're going to charge vet prices, not what you're paying now. So that's what I see as the bad thing about it. Again, throwing the baby out with the bathwater kind of situation where, they're doing it because there were some vets that complained to the medical examining board. And that's exactly how this came to be. Now, we'll see where the lawsuits end up going, but kind of crazy, and then it always leads to the second state and the third state. And now, the guy who is litigating this, who is lawyer, Tim Keller, has successfully litigated a similar case in Maryland where Maryland was trying to do the same thing. They sued, and the plaintiffs won. So let's hope he can do the same thing in Arizona. And You know, and you know what? The bad ones and the ones who are untrained usually weed themselves out because they get fired very quickly from most of their clients, and they end up weeding themselves out.
Yeah, and I really think, too, that, you know, looking at this, thinking about the last massage that I got, there's no way that guy would qualify to be a doctor. I mean, my God. So there's in no way should horse masseuses be doctors if human ones can't. It don't have to be. It's crazy.
I totally agree with you. On a good note, though, for us anyway, because we kind of believe in this, is that in Obama's latest budget he put in for 2015, it still does not include funding for the Department of Agriculture to test for horse slaughter plants. So what that means is that there would be, you know, they would be unfunded and you could not open them in the United States still. So That is good news. Now, this budget has not passed yet, but it is in there, and I doubt they're going to take this particular part of it out. So that is pending now for 2015. That was good news as well. One other thing before we go to Leslie, while we're on in the racing world, there were 10 nominations for U.S. Racing's Hall of Fame. Some of the names you will recognize. Some are from 20, 30, 40 years ago. But the candidates, what will happen here is these 10 have been nominated, 4 will be elected, and some are horses and some are jockeys and some are trainers. But jockeys by the name of Chris Antley, Garrett Gomez, a lot of people recognize, Craig Perrett, and Alex Salas are the jockeys that have been nominated. Thoroughbreds by the name, is it Ashado? A-S-H-A-D-O? I don't remember Ashado. Curlin, you'll recognize that name. Kona Gold and Extra Heat, and then trainers Steve Asmussen and Gary Jones have been nominated to the Hall of Fame for the U.S. racing.
Yeah,
so that's,
I guess,
what's going on there.
The candidate, the people that are on the voting board vote for 4 of them, and so the 4 with the most votes actually get inducted, and I guess it's going to be August 8th at Saratoga at the Fosdick Tipton Sales Pavilion. So we will know a little bit more, but a lot of these people have actually been waiting for a while. So you never know if they – it's kind of like baseball. They want to make them wait. It's not first ballot Hall of Famers and stuff like that. So we shall see. But I think Curlin is on it for the first time, and I can't see him not getting voted in.
I agree. And, you know, Steve Rasmussen, it was Curlin's trainer, as well as trainer to another horse that everybody might recognize, Rachel Alexandra. So, you know, he's got a good shot, too, I would say, with those two in his bag. That's a pretty good shot.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Let's head off to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses. And this is brought to you by High Visibility North America. They wanted me to let you know, if you are going to Road to the Horse, and I know there's some of our listeners that are going to Road to the Horse this weekend because they've let me know that they hope to see me there. High Visibility North America will be there. They'll be in Dan James' booth, so you'll find them. They have their coats that are 50% off. They're going to have them there. Their Aspie jackets and their quilted jackets are going to be there. So if you want to try them on and check them out for yourself, as well as their vests and all their other products, head on over to Dan James' booth at Road to the Horse. You
tell
can
them
also
we sent
still
you.
Get. Yeah, tell them we sent you. That's for sure. And I want to also thank Lindsay of High Visibility North America for putting us up this weekend while we're there. We appreciate that as well. And and you can still get those jackets at 50% off by going to highvisibilitysportswear.com. The promotion is still there, so if you want to get a sale on that, you know, winter's not over. We got another nor'easter coming in, so you might as well head on over. And then also buy your vests for summertime, the lightweight vests for summertime, while you're there. Be safe. You know, you're wearing a helmet now. You might as well be safe and make sure a car sees you when they're coming along the road, or whether you're riding in the woods or wherever you're riding. So highvisibilitysportswear.com. Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. Howdy, Leslie.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you and your horse doing?
We're great. We're great. We had a gorgeous weekend here in East Tennessee. It was just spectacular yesterday, so I'm so ready for spring to be here.
How was last weekend, though?
giving me an excuse to brag.
Yes.
It was our first event of the season. We went to Sporting Days horse trials down in Aiken, South Carolina, and he saw, was not sure how things were going to go, but he apparently remembers how to event, and we got third place out of 19, I think, in our prelim division. So, and he was just a champ. He was really, really, really good.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah, that was really cool. I saw that on Facebook and I had to bring it up because, you know, you get to brag about your horses on a radio show about horses. Come on.
any opportunity I have.
Well, congratulations. That's terrific. Well, you know, I was taking a look at some of the stories that you guys have up on Horse Nation. I really like the one about the 7 random facts about horses, and it ties into a conversation we were just having about Arizona, because Arizona is trying to make it that you have to have a vet license to do equine massage and canine massage. And apparently that's not the only wacky thing in Arizona besides Jamie. And the other thing are the state of Arizona. Did you know, Jamie, it's illegal for donkeys to sleep in a bathtub?
I'm so proud of my state right now. So awesome.
Did you know also that cutting a cactus can land you 25 years in the slammer?
That I did know. Because the big saguaros, the big really super tall ones, are protected. They are federally protected. So, no, you can't move them. You can't cut them down. You can't nothing. They are protected.
Well, I got one for you guys. Did you know that if you're driving along in the state of Florida here and you see an orange grove and you want to pull over and just pick an orange because they're looking good and you're thinking that's going to be fun, that's $1,000 fine for every orange you pick.
Are you serious?
Expensive orange.
Yep, $1,000 for every orange you pick alongside the road.
Oh, I hope that's not true here because we trail ride and I take my students down where somebody's got like orange trees that they never pick and they're delicious and we'll actually ride over and grab oranges off the trees and eat them as we ride home. And so your reins are really sticky and your hands are covered in horsehair because it's awesome though.
No, see, in Arizona, it's not illegal. There's not $1,000 fine. They just shoot you. So it's
yeah. Martial law out here. What else is what other fun laws are there, Leslie? What do people not know?
Random horse facts. I know you guys are big fans of trivia. You've got the celebrity trivia going on every Wednesday.
Yep.
And we at Horse Nation loves trivia too. Not that I can retain any of this random knowledge that I'm constantly absorbing, but in and out. But it's fun. It's fun to know little factoids. So we had a whole bunch of sort of random facts come up this week on the website. So I thought I would read you a few of my favorites. Let's see. So do you know how much a adult horse's brain weighs? Relative to that of a human?
Let's see,
about
2 pounds.
About half, the half as much as a human brain. And yet...
Is that right?
Yeah, half as much as a human brain, although the horse itself weighs about 7 times as much as a human, at least. So.
10 times some people.
Exactly. So that's an interesting fact. Horses can hear faint sounds as far away as 2.5 miles away. And also they can hear sound at higher frequencies than humans. So maybe, you know, when your horse is spooking at quote-unquote nothing, maybe it's just something that he can hear and you can't.
No, it's nothing.
Pretty interesting.
It's nothing. Big jerk. It's nothing. So 2.5 miles away, I mean, that's crazy because the neighbor about 5 houses down and everybody's house is 2 or 3 acres. So it's quite a bit further. She brings her horse over for riding lessons, and when she leaves, like my, she's a mare, and all my geldings, they call to her for like 2 days, and I can faintly hear her all the way down, and they carry on conversations with this mare. Five houses down, which is, you know, probably about half a mile. But that's apparently nothing, huh?
That's cool. Apparently not. Although I think they have selective hearing because, you know, when your horse is just on the other side of the paddock and they're, you're calling for them and they're pretending like they can't hear you, that I think that's certainly
exactly. Yet put four pieces of grain in a bucket and wiggle that around, and they'll hear it moving around in the bottom of the bucket.
Yeah, exactly. And so, speaking of selective sensitivity, horses are their skin is so sensitive. Like they can feel, you know, a fly land on a single hair on their body, They say on the sides of the horse where your leg sits is more sensitive than a human fingertip. So you're kicking, away. Your horse can feel you. Just choosing what he wants, how he wants to react, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, now we're going to quit there because we don't. Jennifer's probably writing some of these down to use them on Wednesday celebrity trivia. So
yeah.
We don't want to give away the answer.
No, keep going.
You just helped her do part of her homework for Wednesday. Hey, another article I saw up there, and then I want to get to one that actually Eventing Nation had put up for both you and Jamie. Mm-hmm. It was the 10 life hacks. Life hacks is becoming a thing, isn't it? Explain life hacks. Yeah, explain that.
Life hacks. One of our readers actually, at the end of the story, she Googled it because she did not know what a life hack was. And I've seen it, you know, seen it around on BuzzFeed, but I think she defined it very well. It means a unique way of solving a common daily problem, an imaginative shortcut. Something.
It started in the geek world. Geeks, you know, have been known for hacking computers and hacking systems and hacking things. And so it started in the geek world, and then it translated over to your everyday life, things you can do basically to shorten, to make your everyday life easier by doing something that's just a little maybe out of the ordinary or efficient.
Yeah. So one of our writers, Lorraine Jackson, collected a few of these ideas that she's seen done in barns, life hacks, so to speak, barn hacks, and sort of put them all together, like a few of them. Let's see, she had a picture of a wood pallet turned on its side and used as a barn shelving, which I thought was brilliant.
Actually, it looked good, too. It looked good.
Yeah, it really does. It looks sharp. She says, keep a measuring tape near the arena marked with each horse's stride distances for easy pole jump setup. So you could put a little piece of tape, you know, where you want a trot pole to be, the distance of a bounce, the distance of a one stride, so you don't have to, search around. It's just right there.
See, and that's really good because I have a pony that's boarded here that I teach lessons on, and I constantly have to redo all of the movement. Like, okay, how many feet is his bounce versus the bounce of a horse? And I'm constantly doing the math. I love that. I will never be organized enough to actually do that.
And they're not that expensive at the store. They're like $8. But I never thought about actually marking the tape measure itself. That's a terrific idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Because you're always trying to figure it out in your head, and you're going, oh, to 6 and 2. And, you know, I love this idea. I like the next one, too. Apply petroleum jelly inside sticky lids for easy opening later. And we all have those sticky lids that we use, whether it's for your hoof stuff or whatever. But I never thought about using the petroleum jelly. That's a good idea.
Genius. She's full of good ideas. Use a multicolored duct tape to claim your grooming tools. You know, I don't know.
Love that.
If that happens to everyone else, you're like, where's my curry comb? And then you find it, you know,
in somebody else's grooming box. Stick some duct tape that is unmistakably yours. And duct tape comes in all colors. I've got some right here on my desk that has little mustaches all over it. It's pretty cute. I'm not sure what I'm going to use it for yet, but I've got it.
I read this one that's coming up wrong, and I read it, soak white snow in one part lemon juice and 10 parts water to get rid of sweat stains. And I was going, what do you need to get rid of sweat stains and snow? That's how we've been talking about winter all morning. It actually is soak white show shirts in one part lemon juice and 10 parts water.
Oh, my God.
To get rid
I was like, what are you talking about?
I saw snow. White.
Yeah, that's pretty genius.
Lemon juice, huh?
Lemon juice. I wonder if that works for white saddle pads too.
And you'll smell fresh. You'll smell
right.
Fresh when you're done. Not only will you not have sweat stains, you'll smell fresh. One of the others that I really liked, and I didn't know this one either, is use an emery board to get stains and adhesives off of suede. And I never thought about the fact of using the emery board. Wouldn't that destroy the suede? I guess not. It's not rough enough.
Not rough enough. Yeah, that's pretty smart. Pretty smart.
All right, now I got one for you guys. Okay, this wasn't on Horse Nation. This was on your sister site, Eventing Nation. And I just found it as we were just before you came on. They put some unofficial rules that you need to know going to events, and you both have been eventers, so we can talk about these, and Jennifer too. This is the unofficial rules about going. You must read the rule book for the official rules, but these are unofficial ones. One is you have to know how to change a flat, because haven't we all gotten flats, especially on the trailer. Who doesn't? Okay, raise your hand. Who has one of those little things you drive up on so you don't have to use a jack?
Me. You have to have one.
Leslie?
You kind of do. Yeah. Yeah, I've got one in the back of my truck. It just lives there, in case. Yeah.
I can tell you, we changed a flat a few times on the trailer with the horses in using a jack, and that was no fun at all.
I'm probably sorry, too.
Yeah, that was
You're like,
no
don't
fun.
Move, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move, please. Don't move.
Yeah.
How about this one? If you think you need an hour to get ready, give yourself an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe two. No,
maybe
knowing
two.
Most of the horse women. Yeah. Most of the horse women I know, I'd say two. A smile at the judge might not help, but it can't hurt. Has it helped you guys at all?
No.
No, but it can't hurt, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why is that crazy
girl
smiling?
The judge knows that you have a sense of humor.
Good point.
Thank every volunteer you see. Without them, there'd be no eventing. If you have a spare few hours, volunteer yourself. I'll tell you who is great at this are the drivers. Every time we've volunteered and been, out of the obstacles and obstacle judging or whatever, every time they come out of the obstacle, they thank the volunteers at every obstacle. Now, you can't do that when you're riding in cross country, but they're very good at that, thanking the volunteers. And it is true. I mean, these events can't happen without the volunteers. And as we talked about earlier, if you're on 5A and 5B at Red Hills, you'll never volunteer there again after last weekend.
Oh, right. That was not fun. Not fun.
Have you guys ever, you both riders, have you ever actually volunteered at an event?
Yeah, definitely. All the time.
Okay.
If I'm not riding, I'll try and volunteer. I mean, it's a good learning experience. You know, you learn a lot.
Has Tad been suckered into it yet? Usually the husbands get suckered into it when the wives are riding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we've talked a little bit earlier, Glenn, about my volunteering experience where Leslie, I used to ride with Mike Winter and I had to eliminate him, because I was jump judging. So that kind of hurt.
Oh man. You know, a lot of these, rules, these unofficial rules that I've written down, I have, compiled from my own experiences. So there's a story behind, a lot of these rules that I've got, one of which, I've got one about never use new products or equipment for the first time in an event. It can be tempting, I know. Don't. I think the story behind that is last spring I was at Southern Pines Horse Trials, and that course looked real big. It was the intermediate course. It was looking real big to me that day. So I went to the little mobile tack store and got some sticky spray and just sprayed it all over my pants and my saddle. And I was like, I'm not falling off my horse. So so I get to the I get to the warm-up, and not only, like, am I stuck to my saddle, I end up ripping the crotch out of my breeches. So I'm riding around, and I can feel the air circulating where it should not be circulating. It was I didn't fall off, but it was not a good day.
Oh, my God. That is classic Leslie Wiley right there.
And she was wondering why everybody was taking pictures of her that day.
Yeah.
I hope you weren't going commando.
No.
No, you don't go commando, but you do wear a thong, you know, because you don't want to have panty lines. So, yeah.
No,
I guess.
No.
Wow.
I love the next one, too. I love the one you put in here, speaking of courses. If the course looks big, walk it again. Defying all laws of physics, jumps grow smaller with each successive course walk. And if they don't, grab a cup of wine and try one more time.
It works every time. I promise you.
Do you think that's true, Jamie? Do they get smaller every time you walk it?
You know what? The first training I did last year with Jet, I actually just didn't get right next to the jump. Like, I walked up to it, and I was like, okay, there it is. And I just made a really big loop around it. So I didn't actually get up close to it to even look at it to stress about it. I just kind of learned the where to turn and where to go kind of thing. I think they get – the closer you get to your time, ride time, the bigger they look to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting nervous just thinking about it. Why is my heart palpitating?
Just imagining the jumps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I know. Like, being at that first training ride, oh, my God, I was terrified. Okay, we're good, though.
It's like it's beginner novice when you walk the course. By the time you get to the start box, you're looking out on, like, a Rolex 4-star course.
And well, that's what's amazing, Leslie, is each course, like when you are riding training and you look at a beginner novice jump, oh, you're like, friggin' tiny little thing. Yet just 3 months ago when you were taking said horse, beginner novice, oh, my God, it was a Rolex course. So it's funny. It depends on what horse you're on is it directly relates to the fear of the size of the jump. Like, if I was to take Edward cross country, beginner novice would be terrifying. But yet on Jet, it would be like no big deal. So it's funny. It's funny how that
all
works
relative
in your psyche. Yep.
I like this one too, Leslie.
Definitely same size.
I like this one, Leslie. Call your mom or significant other after cross country. They worry. And that is true. We do.
It's so true. It's so true. I always have to remind myself to call my mom. I know she's sitting at home. She knows what my ride time is, and she's just going to be a worried mess until I call her. So I have to make that right up on top of the priority list. Cool out your horse, call your mom.
What a good girl.
She's a good daughter. And then my favorite one on this list, and whatever you do, never, ever look down in the porta potty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God.
But you do. I mean, that's the thing. You walk in and you...
Especially one of the readers added on cross country morning.
Oh, God, no. Oh, disgusting. Do you
only
find
you would
just
put that
help
in your
life. Like, you just can't help it, though? Like, you have to walk in and you look... Oh, so gross.
And don't you say every time after you do that, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to look the next time. And every time you do, it's like a human instinct. I don't know why. Why are we that way? What's wrong with us? We're sick human beings.
Sick.
Oh. That was my favorite part of the list, though, Leslie. That was a good list. That was on Eventing Nation. You can find it over there. Did you put it on Horse Nation, too?
I haven't. Not yet. Yeah, I'll have to do that today.
Yeah. Well, while you were talking about it, I did want to remind everybody that Wednesday we are having the celebrity, the equitymfg.com celebrity trivia challenge. And thank you, Leslie, for posting that last week and on over on your page. But Frankie Lovato is going to be with us on Wednesday, jockey Frankie Lovato. So one lucky listener will play him in a celebrity trivia challenge. We had a good time last week with Max. Of course, you know Max, the number one grooming person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Max Cochran was here, and we had a good time playing with her as well. So, and everybody won last week, right, Jamie? Everybody won. So not just,
you know, it seems to be a trend, Glenn, but we've got to stop it. You've got to stop doing that. Not all of the people that give away prizes want to give away too. Like, oh, you win. Go ahead.
I'm a softie. I can't help it. I'm a softie. Thank you, Leslie, for joining us again. It's horsenation.com. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great week.
All right,
and Glenn, make sure you go on Horse Nation and see 10 hashtag draft horse problems. You're going to love it.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I have to take a look at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to take a look
at
that
one. You're going to love it.
Hey,
all right, well.
I got to tell you a bit of news. This
oh,
is a bit
okay.
of personal news. Over the weekend, I hooked the pony up. We've been hooking the pony up to the new cart. And hooked Scooter up to the new cart, and we've been slowly working him up. He doesn't have very much muscle, so pulling my fat butt around is kind of difficult for him. But over the weekend, I actually got him to trot for like 50 yards with the cart attached
Woo-hoo!
With me in it. And I didn't
and
fall
did
out.
Good?
And yeah, he was good. He was actually pretty good over the weekend. Yep. I think he's tired from pulling my fat butt around. I think that's probably why. So I was actually listening when you were talking about getting horses in shape because mine, you know, is coming from nothing to get in shape. So we were just doing 10, 15 minutes at a time, and I was going to slowly start working his muscle up. That's the biggest part now. He sort of steers now, so that's good. And Jennifer doesn't have to head him the whole time now. I can actually go out, you know, in a enclosed area by myself. But we're not taking him out in the roads yet. We're not quite to that point. But he is doing better.
So
and he's.
Are you telling me that your wife gave you permission to do something with your pony?
Yes. That's how it works around here. Because safety
Smart.
Is still number one. Yeah, safety is still
well
number
done,
one
Jen.
Around here.
And yeah. What's funny is it's not safety for Glenn. It's safety for the pony.
That's right. We don't want to break. No, it's safety. We don't want to break the cart or the pony or the harness that we just paid all that money for. So, yeah, we want to keep all of that safe. She could care less about me.
See,
I did want to.
Glenn's colorblind, and he does not see those many, 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 many red flags that indicate you need to change something or stop, Glenn. And he just doesn't see them. So that's what I'm there for.
Yeah. I always had totally broke ponies before, which kind of makes this one a little more challenging because I was just getting the cart and go. Speaking of the little pony, Jamie, I don't know if you've noticed this, but something happened over the weekend, and somebody shared the video again of the pony of Scooter rolling in the water, and now it's up to 2.8 million. It just went
Good
crazy
Lord.
Again over the weekend. I don't know.
Do we
who
have
shared
a
it,
lot more horses in the morning likes on our Facebook page because of this
We gained
thing?
Almost 2,000. Yeah, in the last 2 weeks. Because
Yay!
Of that, yeah. So yeah, it's up to almost 23,000 shares. But somebody shared it, and a whole bunch of new comments started coming in. So I don't know who did that, but thank you. Appreciate that.
I want to go viral. God, what do I have to do? Run around naked at a horse show?
That would do it. I'd watch that. I'd share that. So, yeah, go ahead. Give it a try. Send it over to Venting Nation. They'd be happy to post it. They'll get it going.
All right.
So just rip your pants and be going commando. That'll go viral, too. That won't look
yeah.
planned, either. Yeah.
I'm
I can
thinking
tell you
about
how many,
it.
Jennifer, I can't tell you how many students I remember over the years going to events where they did rip their pants. And it must be a thing that happens to eventers a lot, because I just know of many cases that that's happened. Is it because they're wearing too small a size, or...
No, like she was saying, we use a lot of that sticky spray or the sticky glue or whatever, the
saddle tight, and then you put so much on that you go to like have to like move forward, but your pants saddle and your butt moves forward, and then I mean something's got to give.
Have you been that girl too?
You know,
oh, I have.
Yeah, Jennifer, you go. I embarrass myself enough on this show.
I've totally been that
Jennifer
person.
Will take that one. She'll take that one.
See, the pants stretch, but the seams don't. That's the problem.
You're exactly right.
You can find a link to all of today's guests and our guests every day at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning, like 2,000 more people have recently. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. And let's see here. Also, don't forget our app. You can go to the App Store, iPhone, or Android, and just search for Horse Radio Network. You can listen to the shows there as well. We're going to be back here tomorrow morning is the Endurance Show. And we have Karen Chatton joining us. And, again, we're going to talk endurance live here tomorrow morning on the show. And then Wednesday, Jamie's back, and we have the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. I almost said wheel. But we have the Celebrity Trivia Challenge back here on Wednesday morning. Thank you, everybody,
it's
for joining us
great.
This morning. Thank you, Jamie. Look at this. We didn't hear a baby all morning. This early time is going to work out great.
You know what? He actually was screaming. It's just being that my husband is night flying all week long, he had to handle the screaming baby.
Does he get any sleep? Your poor husband has to fly $50 million jets. Does he actually get any sleep?
Not when we time change. Thank you very much.
I know. We're going to have to start the show at noon now, Eastern time.
I'm putting in for it.
Breath,
if you
right.
if you guys agree, flood Glenn at horseradionetwork.com saying, I would so much rather listen live at noon Eastern than I would at whatever, 9 Eastern. I mean, who gets up that early? We're busy.
Jamie, there is a suggestion box outside of the studio here, so if you want to put a suggestion in there, I'll be happy to read it later.
Can you see this suggestion that I'm giving you right now? Can you see that? Thought so.
That's it for today. I'm trying to find the closing music. I can't find it. There it is. Bye, everybody. Back to that, Jamie.